Okay, now let's review something from yesterday and Tosfos, and we'll try and explain what's going on. So our Gemara said the following. Again, the Mishnah said a line which is, seems to be all-inclusive, which is Hatzad HaShavah Shabahen, the common denominator amongst the Arba Avos Nezikin, is that it's Dakam HaHazak Gushim Rasan Olecha. Why bother stating the fact that that's the common denominator? The Gemara assumed it was coming to include something that wasn't necessarily obvious or was derived from one of the Avos, only from a combination of more than one. So there are four opinions here in the Gemara. What is it coming to include? The first opinion is Abaye, that it's coming to include Avnos Akino Maso, Shenichem Barosh Gago, the package that you put on top of the building, and then it blew off, and it did damage after it hit the ground, which is a combination of Eish and Bar. Bar, because now it's stationary, but it only got here through some natural force, so that's similar to Eish, it's a combination of the two. Rava says it's coming to include not Avnos Akino Maso, Shenichem Barosh Gago, but a Bar Amis Gago, which is a dangerous item or something that could cause damage that's placed in the Rishus HaRabim, but it didn't do damage in point A. It only did damage once it got kicked to point B. So that's a combination of bar, because now it's stationary like a bar, but yet it didn't start here. It only ended up here because someone else kicked it. So that is derived from Shar. Just like Shar moves from one place to another place, and yet you're chayav for the nezikin that it does, so to the bar that moved from place to point A to point B, one will also be chayav for the nezikin that it caused. Even though you put it in point A, now it ended up in point B. Who's going to be chayav? Just like the Baal HaShar is chayav even though it moves from place to place, here the Baal HaBar is chayav, the guy who put, our example from yesterday was extreme, of course, but the machete in point A, and it got kicked to point B, who's chayav? The guy who put the machete there is chayav. So Tosfos had a line in the Gemara which Rashi rejected, but Tosfos accepted, which was, what about if it does damage as it's getting kicked? Not after it comes to a rest, it comes to stop in point B. Again, the guy put it in point A, now it's in point B, it does damage. So the guy who put it in point A is chayav for what happened in point B, because you have to assume it might get kicked by a person or by an animal. What about if it's flying through the air? A guy comes and kicks it as it's flying through the air, it does damage. Who is obligated to pay now? So Rashi understood, still the Baal HaBar. Why? Because a person is not careful what he hits as he's walking. His head is up. Ain't doctrine shopping the adam lizbonein bedrachin. People are not careful to watch as they walk. Fine. Tosfos disagreed. And Tosfos said, yes, ain't doctrine shopping the adam lizbonein bedrachin. That you might trip. You might kick a stone a little bit. But to fly through the air to cause damage, that is only if a person kicks it intentionally. So therefore, Tosfos says, since you kicked it intentionally, who is chayav now if it does damage, not after it comes to a rest in point B? It does damage as it's flying through the air, said Tosfos, now it's the person who kicked it. Not the Baal HaBar, but the person who kicked it. Does that mean the person who kicked it together with the Baal HaBar, or just the person who kicked it? So if you look in the Rashba over here, the Rashba says, like Tosfos, Vehein kimu hagirsa, people are careful that a guy's going to kick it with such force it's going to cause damage. That people are careful, and if he did it, it must have been intentional. It didn't roll from point A to point B. You kicked it. Oh, they should split it. Again, if it was in point A and got kicked to point B through regular foot traffic, the Baal HaBar has to pay for it. The guy who put it in point A, because he has to consider it might get kicked to point B. What if a guy kicks it with Kavanah to point B? Nah, and it does damage as it's flying through the air. So says the Rashba, both bear responsibility because both contributed. Who? The guy who put the machete in the over here, or the guy who put the dangerous item over here, and the guy who kicked it intentionally. Oh. So they split it. That's the Rashba. It's no different than a dog. One guy's making a barbecue, and a dog comes and takes the coal from the barbecue and goes and burns down someone else's house. Both bear responsibility because both contributed here too. Both contributed. However, then the Rashba goes on to quote our Tosfos, the third line after the comma. Od pir shukokahu v'yischayev hamegalgel hakol. No, the guy who put the machete there is totally exempt. It's only the guy who kicked it. Im gilgulu raglayadam v'lo baal hatakala klal. Not the guy who put it there at all. V'lo dami lekalev. It's not the same as the dog. Shenotel sacharara. The kalev la bardasu. The kalev has no intention for that which he's doing. V'haylo about the kol. He's up gachalto. The owner of the barbecue should have been careful. Should have been careful that a kalev, the dog, should not come over and take it. Here, someone kicked it intentionally. He's the only one who's chayiv. Okay. So in our case over here, by the bar hamizgagel, there's three cases we have to consider. That's why we have to, by help, put it down. So we have over here on the gemara vavim and aleph. Yeah, we have the bar hamizgagel. So if it does damage after it comes to rest, only the Baal HaBor chayiv. What if it does damage as it's flying through the air? Coco. Yeah? Not after it rolls somewhere that's stationary. Here it's stationary. It's not stationary. Here it's flying through the air. Yeah? Who's chayiv there when it's coco? So we have a machlokes, who's chayiv there? According to Tosfos, Koko, and someone kicked it b'kavana. So according to Tosfos there, who is chayiv? Only the person who kicked it. How did Tosfos phrase it? We'll call it, what did Tosfos say? The megalgel. The megalgel chayiv. Ubal habar potter. That's Tosfos. The Rajba disagrees. The Rajba holds that the Galgal Chayiv Nechta and the Balabar, that's the guy who placed the item there, Chayiv Nechta. They're both Chayiv. They split it. Okay, so if it's stationary, only the Balabar is Chayiv. He has to be considered. Might get moved from point A to point B. If it's as it's moving through the air, it does damage. That means, Rashi says that, they're also the Baal HaBor chayiv, because you should have considered someone might kick it. And people aren't careful as they walk. Tosfos and the Rajba say, come on. People are careful as they walk to make sure it doesn't, you know, get jettisoned, get, you know, launched into the air like a rocket. Someone, of course you're careful about that. So it must be a person did it b'kavana, because it was other b'kavana. That's how Tosfos and the Rajba say. A person b'kavana. Okay, so one guy put it there, some guy kicked it b'kavana. What happens now? Tosfos says, Megalgel is chayiv, Baal HaBor is poter. And the Rajba say, no, they both pay mechza, and this one pays mechza. What does this case revolve around? Revolves around the Gemara later on in the Chav Gimel. That's case B that Tosfos brings up. Chav Gimel Manalov, I think. Yeah? That is the Kelev Shonotu Sechararo. The dog that took the coal. And he went and burned down someone's house. Who's chayiv there? Both of them. There, Baal HaKelev, chayiv mechza, Baal HaCharara, that's the same as the Baal HaBor, chayiv mechza. Half and half. So the Rashba holds our case is the same as this case. The mamash the same. Mechza, mechza. There were two contributing parties. Whenever you have two contributing parties, they each pay half. Everyone contributed. Tosfos has a problem. Why is this case, if it, and this is after it's stationary, what if it's moving through the air, there's two contributing parties. The guy put it in, the guy kicked it, must have been another mekavana. Tosfos says, no, the megalgel is chayiv, Baal HaBor is poter. Why? Why is it any different than this? Tosfos says, because over here you're dealing with an other b'kavana. Once you have an other b'kavana, that exempts everybody else. As opposed to, over here, the Baal HaKelev, I'm sorry, that's the dog. The dog, no other b'kavana. I was posheing my shmir, I didn't watch over the dog properly, and you have the Baal HaKarara. A guy was posheing his shmir by watching over the coal. But there's no other b'kavana, then all the contributing parties pay. Tosfos holds, when you have an other b'kavana, that exempts the Baal HaBor.
Oh, okay.
Then there was a third case, Tosfos. The most complicated of all the cases. And where was this Gemara? Where was this Gemara?
Nun Gimel Min Aleph.
What did that Gemara say?
Shor and
Ben. Yeah. Oh. Shor Ba'adam Shadach Bolabar. You have a Shar and an Adam. We got to wrap our head. I know it's complicated, but we can all handle, you know, a little bit complicated scenarios. This is how it goes, okay? A Shar and an Adam. Push something. Let's assume it's another animal. So there's two Sharas here, okay? I know it's complicated. We can handle it. Adam and a Shar push another animal into the bar. How many parties do we have here? Four. I know it's a lot, but you have four. Who? The Adam and the Shar who pushed. The aggressors. The one who made the pit. The Balabar. All three bear some sort of responsibility, contributing parties. And who? But the victim. Okay? That's who we have. What does the Gemara say? Kulam kulam chayavim. They're all three chayav. Shar, the Adam, and the Balabar. The Adam, Shar, and the Balabar.
And is this kid the Kavana for the Adam?
No, what? What?
Adam is the Kavana here.
Oh. So says Taisus, don't you see? All the contributing parties have to pay, whoever's a contributing party. Why does all the contributing parties have to pay? But you have an Adam Kavana, says Taisus. This Adam must be Adam Shalai Kavana. Otherwise, he should exempt the Balabar. Huh? And Taisus feels if this Adam would be Bikavana, he would exempt the Balabar. If it would be another Bikavana, Rabbi say, who would pay? Who now is on the hook? Adam Bikavana and the Balabar. Shar push. The Shar push the Shar in. Who's Chayim now?
Adam.
What about the Shar? He didn't do anything?
Not by
that. He contributed.
Not by that. John said by
that. He's not about that. It's true, but did he contribute?
But Adam was
yeah.
Oh, yeah, so they pay.
So who pays? According to Taisus, what should happen? Taisus would hold. If it would be an Adam Bikavana, if it's an Adam Shaloi Bikavana, they each pay, Poshet, 33%. Now we miss math into a complicated thing, all right, but this is Shaloi Bikavana. This is all in the world of Taisus. What about if it's an Adam Bikavana? So we should say, then what? 50%? 50%? And what about the Balabar? Zero. That's how you get the impression from Taisus. Says the Tzais. Why? Why? Why shouldn't it have been? This is how Taisus would learn. What did the Tzais say? Tzais HaChayshin suggested, why is Taisus jumping to that conclusion? Let's say, even if it's Adam Mikavana, what should this be? He should be on the hook for 50%, because he exempts the Balabar, even though the two contributing parties, at least in his half, were him and the Balabar, but he exempts the Balabar. But the Shar doesn't exempt the Balabar, so this should be 25, and this should be 25. Makes sense. In which case, the Ksai says this Gemara is Gavalvit. When the Gemara said, Kulam Mikhayavim, it could even mean an Adam. Bikavana. Taisus said the whole Gemara was an Adam Shalai Bikavana. If it would be an Adam Bikavana, the Balabar is Pater. Says the Ksais, no, it could even be an Adam Bikavana. How could it be an Adam Bikavana and Kulchem Chayovim? Because it breaks down like this. The Adam is Chay 50, like Taisus said. But the Shar and the Bar were both contributing parties. The Shar doesn't exempt the Balabar, so let them split this part. So this one guy pays 50, this guy pays 25, this guy pays 25, and Kulchem Chayovim. So even Adam Bikavana, it could be, according to the Ksais. Each one of three has to pay, but different proportions.
And the Gemara doesn't specify.
The Gemara doesn't say. It doesn't say that they're each chayav a third. The Gemara just says, Kulchem Chayovim. So it could be 50, 25, 25. Why not? We can open our mind, you know, we can be open-minded like that. So the Ksais asks, why did Taisus say, once you have an Adam Bikavana, the Balabar is Pata Lagamre. Why is the Balabar Pata Lagamre? At least for the chelik of the Shar, the Balabar contributed to the Shar. Why, once there's an Adam Bikavana, is everybody off the hook? The Balabar, or at least the Balabar is off the hook. The Balabar contributed here, fine, so he's chayav. Why is the Balabar off the hook once an Adam Bikavana enters into the picture? If it's an Adam Shalom Bikavana, everybody's on the hook. Kulchem Chayovim, says Taisus. Once if an Adam Shalom Bikavana, an Adam Bikavana, that exempts everybody. Why? We have the same thing over here. If there's no Adam Bikavana, all contributing parties pay. Over here, if there's no Adam Bikavana, all contributing parties pay 33, 33, 33. But once if another kavana, everybody else is putter. Why? Don't you see, normally, whenever you have contributing parties, everybody pays. Well, how come once there's another mikavana, all of a sudden everything's different? That's the problem. We don't understand Tysus. Why? The Tysus leaves off with the Tzarachian. Why should Tysus have said this? We hear the Kasha, Rabbi Zai. Yes? Speak now. Okay. So there's two possible ways of it. Might be more. But there are two possible ways of justifying why Tysus feels an other mikavan exempts everybody else. One possibility, if Shechter suggests like this in a Sefer Eretz HaTzvi, Simen Lamaches, with the aside he quotes there from Soloveitchik, that whenever you use, I do an action, or I cause something to occur, so by using or harnessing some sort of natural force, or I cause something to occur by prompting an animal to do something, or I cause a damage to occur by digging a pit, everything that occurs afterwards relates to me, and I bear responsibility for it. But that's only because there was no other person who we could pin it on who was involved in the process. Meaning if I dig a pit and damage occurs, so I'm the only person who could be pinned on, so the response, I bear the responsibility. But once an other kavana enters into the equation after my involvement, so now we pin the responsibility on him. He becomes the Baal HaMaisa, not the one who initiated. Just as a mashal amal davar daim, I don't know if it's exactly the same, but this is a Shechter's example. It's from a Gemara Masechtas Kiddushin, in regards to an entirely different area of halacha, but the Gemara is discussing kinyanim. The Gemara at the end of the, or in, towards the middle of the first parak of Masechtas Kiddushin, it's 40 blot, the first parak of Masechtas Kiddushin, but at the end of the first part, before you get to the part that everybody learns, you know, from Daf Chav Tesanon, right before there, the Gemara discusses all of the forms of kinyanim. One of the kinyanim that's discussed is Meshicha, which is pulling something towards you as opposed to Hagbah, which is picking it up. Here, even if I drag it along the ground, once it's pulled towards me, that's a form of kinyan. So Amar Shmuel, Eved Kenani, Nikne b'Meshicha. You can be Kone and Eved Kenani with Meshicha. How? Ketzad. Takfu v'etzlo kano. I pull him towards me. That is a form of acquisition. Karo uba etzlo. Let's say I call him to come over, and he, you know, follows my instructions. That's not meshicha lo kano. Okay. If I pull it myself, yes. If I call it and it comes, no. I call him and he comes, no. The karo lo fakti gemara. Really? If I call him and he comes, that's not a kinyan v'atanya. Keita b'meshicha. How do you have a case of meshicha karo lo v'iba? I call an animal and the animal comes. I say, you know, Fluffy or whatever, you know, whatever the dog's name is. I say, come here. And the dog comes, or the cow comes, or the horse comes. So then I was calling the animal. Because it came only because of my prompting, my instructions. So therefore, I've acquired the animal. Or I hit it with a stick and it ran in front of me. Causing it to move is also a form of meshicha, not just pulling it actively. So why then, if I call Eved Kenani to come and he moves from point A to point B, is that not considered to be a form of meshicha? Because he only did so based on my instructions. And for the Gemara, Amri, Behema adaita demara azla. The Behema moves because of your instructions. So therefore, everything that occurs or follows my instructions relates to me. It's considered to be my kinyan. Eved adaita denavshe kazil. The Eved really made a conscious decision on his part to follow your instructions. It's not instinct. So once you're dealing with another decision-making party here, with another human being who interrupts, you know, what I initiated and the result that occurred, so then it is not all attributed to the initial party, to the to let's say the Adon who instructed him to move, since he's a decision-making party himself, the Eved, so human being who's acting, the Kavana, the action gets attributed to him, and it's not considered to be a form of Meshicha. So even though he followed my instructions, because he interrupted what was taking place, and therefore cannot be considered my kinyan, it's not my maisa, because there's an other bikavana who's interrupting that which is occurring, and therefore it is not all attributed to me. So moving back over here as well, we could suggest that that is what is occurring with the balabar. When you have a balabar who digs a pit, so everything that follows, the damage that occurs, relates to him. However, I place a dangerous item in the Shus HaRabim, the equivalent of digging a pit. So everything that follows relates to me. However, if another other Bekavana interrupts this, he kicks it, you know, and it gets launched into the air, so then the damage that occurs is not considered to be as a result of my action of putting it there in the Shus HaRabim. It all gets pinned on him. Because once you have an other Bekavana interrupting that which is taking place, he becomes the Baal HaMaisa. As opposed to if it's an Adam Shelo Bekavana. If a person, just regular foot traffic, moves it from point A to point B, he's acting Shelo Bekavana, even though he could have been more careful, since he didn't do it deliberately, he does not become the Baal HaMaisa. There's a difference between a person acting Bekavana as a person acting Shelo Bekavana. How do I know? So look at the following... following proof, this Rav Shechter brings all of this. The Gemara says later on, Rabbi said, turn to Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. I think we've seen this Gemara once this year. The Gemara says in Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, what if you have two people running in the Rishus HaRabim? Mishnah on the bottom Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Shnayim Shahayu Mahalchim Rishus HaRabim. Echad Rots V'Echad Mahalech. One is running, one is walking. Two people are walking, and they get tangled up. Okay, everyone's part. I have the right to walk here. You have the right to walk here. No one has the right of way. What are you going to do? Masnisin delo ki Isi ben Yehuda, says the Gemara. This is all not like Isi ben Yehuda. Desani Isi ben Yehuda, omer rot skarim leishu mishuna. You do not have the right to run on the sidewalk. I don't know what the law is, but... if people are walking and you are running, so then you are acting in an abnormal way. No one anticipates you're going to like all of a sudden take off, you know. So fine. You're acting abnormally. No one should have anticipated that. You are chayav. Umayde isi ben Yehuda b'Erev Shabbos ben Hashmashes. But if you're running Friday, shehu poter. Mipnei sherotz birshus. You have every right to run. And therefore, any damage that occurs, you're putter. Why are you putter? Because you're acting birshus mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to run to shul on Erev Shabbos if you're late. Yeah. I don't know if you have to run if you're not late. But if you're late, you can run. So what do you see about the damage that occurs if I'm acting birshus mitzvah? What do you see? Chayev or putter? Putter. Come on, right here. Turn to Daf Samach Amud Beis. You have to know this Gemara. 10 lines from the bottom on Samach Amud Beis Gemara. 5 lines from the end of the 5 words from the end of the line is Mahu Lahatzel Atzma B'Mamon Chavero. Can a person save himself with his friend's money? In modern ethics, they would call this Heinz Dilemma. You know what Heinz Dilemma? Anybody know what Heinz Dilemma is? Well, Heinz Dilemma, it's Nagea. It comes up every 2 years or something when there's one drug company that's abusing the patients, you know, when they spend a lot of money on R&D and they want to make back their money when they're selling their drug, which they have the right to do. But they have a patent on it, and they're abusing the market. The medication costs an astronomical amount. And a person like Elena is a chayle who needs that medication, and they can't afford it. So you have someone who has a chayle, Elena, besafik sakana. There's a mitzvah to save him, atzalos nefashos. Ah, but someone else has a refuah. But it belongs to him, and I don't have the money to pay. Should you steal in order to save the patient? Or should you let the patient die in order to preserve law and order? That's Heinz Dilemma. And it's not always so important in terms of interpreting Heinz Dilemma what you choose, but why you chose it. Right? Fine. So should you steal, do the ends justify the means in order to save a life, but you have to violate someone else's property rights? So what does halacha say about it? Mahu lahatzil asma b'mamon chaveroi. What about damaging? I'm running away, and in order to save myself, I have to smash through your window. Do I have to pay you for the window? I was saving my life. Someone else was running after me to kill me. So I've saved my life at your expense. Shokulei, asila hatzel atzma b'mamon chavero. You're not allowed to do it. But look at Tosfos. Mahu la'atzma atzma b'mamon chavero, right there, two lines. The only suffering is, do you have to pay? Only if you have to pay. Whether it's permissible or not, that everyone agrees it's permissible. What if I never intend to pay? Is it permissible because I intend to pay? Is a good question. What if I never intend to pay? I don't have the money to pay. Or I don't think you're entitled to the money because you're a chazer and taking too much money for the drug. And I'm staging a protest against you. Okay, these are all good questions. If we're learning that Simon Chama Beis, we could investigate it. And then it would turn out that if you don't intend to pay, it's usur. What does that mean? Gezel is the Yaharik Val Yavar. Maybe it is. Maybe Gezel is a fourth Aveira, which is Yaharik Val Yavar, which is something we need to explore in another time. But look over here. What does it sound like from the Gemara? Let's say I did damage. I jumped through your window, and I'll pay you for it. So then it's allowed, but I have to pay. But is it a mitzvah to save lives? Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Kol matzil nefesh achas miyisrael. So if you save the whole world, it's a mitzvah to do it. Why do you have to pay? Why is it any different than the guy who's running Erev Shabbos and he bumps into, does damage to the guy's window as he's running by? He's mazik birshus because he's running birshus mitzvah on Erev Shabbos because he's late to shul. How is it any different than what's taking place over here? I jumped through the window because someone else was chasing after me to kill me. So you're allowed to do it. But I could jump through the window. But you got to pay the guy for the window. Why do I have to pay for the window? Yeah? Yeah, so the obvious answer is, huh? Oh. Over there on the Avsalam Chavah Beis, I'm doing a delivery. I'm making a decision. As someone's running after me or before I'm going to save the Chayla, am I going to break into your drugstore to take the medication? I do it b'kavana. When you do it b'kavana, there's no heter b'rishus mitzvah, or you're allowed to do it, but you have to pay for it. Because then you're an other mamazik. You're acting with your own intention. You're chai because of your actions. However, when I'm running and I do damage shelo b'kavana, it's true, I'm an Adam Amazik, Adam Chayev, I'm Adam Mu'ad Liyolim, Beim Be'ones, Beim Be'ratzon, but when it's Shalom B'Kavana, it's because I wasn't watching over myself sufficiently. I wasn't being careful enough. Not because of my action per se, but because I was Poshea in my Shmira of myself. So as long as I'm acting B'Shus Mitzvah, I don't have to be careful. Chazal gave me the right to run through the street because it's a mitzvah to do it. And therefore I can do it even, obviously if it's recklessly, no, but within the guidelines of what Chazal prescribed is allowed. And if I by accident do damage, I'm not liable. Because there's a difference when a person acts b'kavana as opposed to when he is just, poshea in Ishmira. If he's poshea in Ishmira of himself, it's shalom b'kavana. Okay. If it's b'shus mitzvah, you don't even have to pay. But if you're another mikavana, then you're liable for your actions. Even though Chazal told you you're allowed to do it, you still got to pay. There's a difference between a person who's acting bikavana, that he's chai for his actions, he's an other mamazik b'masa, with his actions, with his maisa, as opposed to another shalom bikavana, he just has to guard himself. So moving back over here, says Rav Shechter suggests, that's what's going on in our time. That when normally you have a guy, a balabar, he sets up a system by which a damage could occur. So he's responsible, he's liable for everything that follows. But once there's someone else acting the kavana, we pin everything else, we attribute everything else that occurs subsequently to this other mikavana. It doesn't go all the way back to the balabor, it rests on him. So too, over here, you don't have another mikavana. Oh, so both contributing parties have to pay. And here, if it's an other shalom mikavana, I was poshe and my shmir of myself, So then, I don't exempt anybody else. It's no different than the Baal Asher was Poshe and Ishmira, or the Baal Abor was Poshe and Ishmira. But once you have an other Mikavana, Tosfos holds that exempts the Baal Abor. Why? The Baal Abor set this up. Nothing happened when he set it up, but something might happen, so everything gets attributed to him. But once you have a Baal other Mikavana who's acting there, that interrupts everything, and everything gets attributed to the person who acted Mikavana. Then takes the Baal Abor off the hook. You hear, Chaver? That's one possibility. That's what Shechter suggests. However, the truth of the matter is, we don't have to be so creative. We could even rely on a principle that we've developed already numerous times, and that is that there's a difference between the Hezek of Bar and the Hezek of Shor or other Marmazik. If you remember, I think someone wrote about this in our Bechina last week, that the Gemara told us in Avgimel Med Aleph, Tais has brought it up, the opinion of Rav, that a bar, you're only chayev, not for the fact that someone hit the ground, you're chayev because the bar has bad air, the hevel. And it was that bad air that was created by the Baal Abor for which he's chayev. The ground, the fact that someone hit the ground at the bottom of the pit, the Baal Abor is never chayev for. That was the opinion of Rav. You're chayev for havlo and not chavto. Why? Because the ground I didn't create. The Baal Abor is chayev for creating a dover hamazik, not for the hezek which later occurs. I didn't create the ground. So if someone gets hit on the ground, that you can't attribute to me. And you can't say, well, I own it, because a bar is typically hefker. So I don't own it. I didn't create the ground. I didn't create gravity. So none of this is my fault, basically. That's how I see it, right? And why you type argument. None of this is my fault. No, so that's why Rav has to say, you created the hevo. You created the bad air. That's what you created. That's why you're chayev. That's why Rav said, if you take an Amno Sakino Maso and you put it in the middle of the Brishus HaRabim, there you're chayiv even for the hitting of the ground, because you created the Dover HaMazik. It's not that a guy fell into a pit and got, you know, damaged because of the gravity in the ground. It's because you put something dangerous in the middle of the Brishus HaRabim. You put a machete there and someone got impaled by it. So you're obligated for it because you created the Dover HaMazik. You brought it here. But what emerges, what emerged from our discussion over there in Gimel Med Aleph, is that bar is different than shor. Because bar, by definition, is something which you don't own, and you didn't really create anything. The ground and gravity exist without you. So you're only chayav for the hevel, the bad air in the bar, not for the hitting of the ground. So the definition of bar is something that you created, a davar hamazik that you created. Therefore, says of Shimon Shkop, we don't have to be as creative, as brilliant as of Shechter's suggestion in the Eretz HaTzvi. We can suggest more simply. And that is, when there's another Adam acting b'kavana here, we could make the argument that the Baal Abor did not create a Dover Hamazik. See, if someone only got hurt over here because someone else kicked it, b'kavana, so then we can say the Baal Abor is putter. You know why the Baal Abor is putter? Because the Baal Abor is only chayv because he created a dangerous situation here. But if no one got damaged because of what he created, or because of normal circumstances that followed, only because another other b'kavana interrupted, so then he really didn't create anything dangerous. It's not the same as shor. Shor, you're chayv because you were poshe and you're shmir, but the shor belongs to you. You're liable, you're responsible for whatever it contributed because it belongs to you. This does not belong to you, the bar. It's hefker. Why are you chayv for it? Because you created it. Oh, but did you really create it, the Dover HaMazik here? Someone only got damaged because someone kicked it, b'kavana. Says of Shimon, then you really didn't create the bar. If it's an adam shalom b'kavana, so then, maybe you did create a bar, because that's something you should have considered when you put this here. But if it's only because of an other b'kavana acted, then that exempts the Baal Abor, because he never created a bar in the first place. A bar means you created a dangerous item, and no one got damaged by what you created. So then you didn't create a bar. So to over here, says Rav Shimon. Over here, once you have an other, the Kavana says Taisvis, that exempts the Baal HaShor, the Baal HaBar, but the Baal HaShor is Taiv, the other and the Shor who pushed the Shor into the pit. So the Gemara said, oh, Achayev, Taisvis, says that's Shalom B'Kavana. Once it's an other B'Kavana, that exempts the Baal HaBar. It says, excuse, why? It exempts him from the Chaluk of the other, maybe, but why should it exempt him even from the Chaluk of the Shor? The answer is that the Baal HaBar could say, I didn't create anything dangerous here. You contributed by pushing the Shor into the pit, together with this Shor, so the Baal HaShor who pushed him in together with me is Chayek, because he's always responsible for his actions, it belongs to him. So us to bear responsibility, but the Baal HaBar can say, I didn't create anything dangerous here. The Baal HaBar is only Chayek, not because he owns the pit, he doesn't, it's Hefker. It's because he created something dangerous, but it's, no one got injured, we're not for the fact that another Mekavona participated. So that automatically exempts the Baal HaBar, because he never created anything dangerous in the first place. You hear? Let's read it inside. It says of Shimon over here, Ois Gimel. Oh, nearly. The time the shiny bar ve'esh le'inyan zeh mishen v'rega o keren. The bar ve'esh chiyuva mishum she'echen mazik ba'olam. You only chay by bar and esh because you created something dangerous. Ho hezek shenasei they only be kavana shebechir biyado. Any hezek that comes about as a result of a person who's bikavana, who's acting intentionally, who has the ability to make decisions on his own, im lahazik olachlo, either to cause damage or to refrain. The Baal HaBar is exempt because he didn't create anything dangerous. It was this guy who made it dangerous. Because you own it. Even though another Mikavana participated with the Shor pushing it into the pit, it was your money, your property that caused the damage. Even though he got damaged because of the bad air, not because of the gravity in the ground, I created something dangerous. Since over here it depends on the decision of an Adam, intentionally, there's no hezek here. I didn't create anything that caused damage, only because you interceded. Perhaps that's why Tosis holds, once you have an Adam Kavana, that exempts everybody else. Yeah? Could be, Rav Naftali adds over here in the Chidushi HaGarnat, Rav Naftali Trump adds, that that's what the Gemara means when the Gemara says, Tomar Bahani She'ein Masav Gomerlo. We said, Malabar She'ein Masav Gomerlo. Your actions caused the bar. What do you mean your action caused the bar? Meaning you put it here, as opposed to here, we're rolled from point A to point B, that we derive from Shor. Shor moves from point A to point B, yet the owner is Chayim. So to over here, the Baal HaBar is Chayim, even though it moved from point A to point B. But what does the line mean? Shemal HaBar Shechein Masav Garmulo. Your actions caused it. Says Rav Naftali, what it means is, you caused the Davar HaMazik, you created it. So therefore you're responsible. But I didn't create it here in A, at point A. I created it at point, I didn't create it here at point B, I created it at point A. It got kicked to point B by foot traffic. But I didn't create the hezek at point B. I created point A, says the Gemara. That we derive from Shor that that's also considered to be your creation. The combination of bar and Shor. But that's what the Gemara means when the Gemara says the deeper meaning of mal bar shechein masiv garmulo. Bar means something you created. Here you created in point A. You didn't create in point B. That we derive from Shor. Okay. That's the Taisus. Okay, Rabbi says, let's go on in the Gemara. So Rava said this extra line of the common denominator is coming to include a bar is galgel. Abai said it's coming to include Abnu Sakinu Masel that blew off. Rava says bar is galgel. If Adabar Hav is a third possibility. Amala Suya Hadasanya, Ko Eut Sha'amru Poiskin bi Boisein Vigarfin Marose bi Moisachama, Ein Lam Rashus, bi Moisak Shamim Yeshom Rashus. What is this? I think we discussed this once. This is a guy has a drain pipe, and he wants to drain his pool. Yeah, if you've ever seen a pool draining, it's a ganze mess. We had a neighbor who moved in has a pool. One neighbor has a pool, and he didn't know where his pool drained, so he decided to drain the pool the first time he moved in. All of a sudden, our backyard started flooding. I'm like, dude, gotta figure out how to do this. It's not working, and it flooded like the whole block because this guy. He didn't realize. Anyway, it's a big mess. So, what? But can you do this? You got to drain your pool. Where are you going to drain the pool? So Gemara says you can do it during the winter time because the road is a mess anyway. You can't do it during the summertime. Everyone's enjoying it outside. So during the summertime, you can't do it. During the wintertime, you can do it. Really, you shouldn't be allowed to do it ever, because you're creating a damaging situation. But Chazal made a takana to allow you to drain your pool. Well, how are we to get rid of your sewage? They were discussing sewage. So we're going to drain it. So you have to give people some time to do it. So fine, they allowed you to do it during the winter. Alpha Pisha Birshus, even though Chazal, the Beis Din, allowed you to do this, emeziku chayovim l'shalim. If they cause damage, you're obligated to pay. Hey, Chidami, what's the case? Iba hadit gazi kamazki. If as the sewage is flying out of my pipe, it causes damage. Koko, that's my action. I don't need a common denominator. That's other mamazik. Elabosa denayach must be after it came to rest. The zevel, the waste. Hey, Chidami, what's the case? Idaf gerinu. Bein the Rav, bein the Shmuel, hainu bar. If you are mafkirid, both according to Rav and according to Shmuel, it should be bar. Ma'ishna bar, did chiyos asiyos l'nezim, manu chishmur asan alecha, haninami, chiyos asiyos l'nezim. Just like bar is a damaging item, you know, something that caused damage, and you have to guard it, here too. Even after it came to rest, you have a pile of zevel, of waste, someone could get sowed in it, someone could get dirty or damaged, therefore you have to be careful. So it's mamish bar. What do I need a combination of two ovis nezikin? Even if you weren't mafkarit, according to Shmuel, it's bar. No, you were mafkarit, but it's not the same as bar. When you put a bar here, you have no right to do this. Beis Din allowed you to do this because people have to drain their cesspools. They have to drain their pools. Shor yochiach. One minute. Shor. So why am I chayiv? Shor yochiach. Because Shor tells you, even though I can move my animals through the Rishus HaRabim, if they cause damage, I have to pay. So to over here, even though you had the right to put it there, cause damage, you have to pay. It's normal for a Shor to move around from place to place, and therefore you have to guard it. And if you didn't, you have to pay. This is not normal for Zevel, for waste, to move from place to place. So Bor Tochiach, now it's at rest, so you have to pay, even though move from point A to point B, you have to pay, derive that from Bar. But Chazar Adin, it's derived from the combination of Bar and Shar. Yeah, you have the right to put it there, like a Shar, but it moved from point A to point B, like a Shar, but now it's stationary, like a Bar. So you learn it out from Bar, you learn it out from Shar. Combination of the two. That is Ravad Bar Hava. Ravina Amar, Ravina says no, it's coming to include a different case. Lasui Hodisnan. Hakais of Ailan Shinoflu, Larishus Harabim. You have a wall and a tree that fell into the Rishus Harabim. Viziku, and they did damage. Patami Lishalim. The owner doesn't have to pay. Yeah, you have a building that falls down. Now you have a ruins. Someone gets damaged, the owner doesn't have to pay. Let's say the buildings department comes, the DOB, and gives you a warning. Take care of your building. They told you take care of it, you know, within the next 2 years, and it fell within 2 years. Then you're potter. They told you you had 2 years, and it fell sooner than then. You're potter. Let's say I wait, I'm delinquent. I waited until after 2 years passed and I still haven't taken care of it. Now, chayiv. Okay? Fine. Building fell down. I knew it was going to fall down. It wasn't a surprise. I'm chayiv. Yeah, no.
This is just like about this, all these words in general. Are all these Amoraim disagreeing with each other?
Probably not.
Included, or like,
probably not.
Because none of these seem to be like, I guess, disagree. Like,
some of them might have held that others are obvious. It's more just like Bor, or just like Shor. The Rif doesn't bring any of them, and the Rush has a long piece. Why doesn't the Rif bring any of these examples? And perhaps it's because the Rif felt these are halachas psukas, yechayiv, whatever.
Right.
None of them are big chiddush. We know them from elsewhere that yechayiv.
Right.
So it doesn't seem to be like it's a machlekes. Machlekes just be, what is the Mishnah referring to? Because we keep citing Mishnayos, which everyone's going to agree to. So pater la'achar is man chayiv. If it falls down after the 2 years, the time they give me to take care of it, you're chayiv. Hey, Chidami, what's the case? Ida afker Rabbein the Rabbein the Shmuel hanu bar. If it's after, you know, if it you were mafker it according to Rabbein, according to Shmuel, it's a bar. Ma'ashna bar dezeku matzah shmuel salach. Hanu nami dezeku matzah shmuel salach. Just like a bar is dangerous and you have to guard it, you have to guard it. Ida loy afker the Shmuel damakum beron lamanu. Even if you were mafker according to Shmuel, it's a bar. Hanu bar liyalam dafkerin ufreg says mar liyalam you were mafker it. It's the same whole thing again. V'lo dami the bar is not the same as bar. Ma'ale bar shekhen tchios asiyos l'nezek. Bar is normally naturally dangerous. This is a wall in a building. This is not a bar. Shor yochiach. Shor is also just an animal. Those are innocuous. They could cause damage, though. So mal shor shekhen darkalei lecha. Yeah, but a shor moves from place to place. This is stationary. Bar tochiach. Yeah, but a bar is stationary. V'chazer adin. So it's derived from the combination of bar and shor. It was normally not dangerous, you know, inherently, but now it became dangerous. That's like a shor, but yet it's stationary. It doesn't move from place to place like a shor, so that we derive from bar. What's the case, though, Chevra? What happened? A wall in a building fell down. A guy got hurt. When did he get hurt?
After.
By the building crumbling on him or afterwards?
Afterwards.
You certain?
I mean, like,
that sounds like that's a bar, right?
Right.
Look at Tosfos. Says Tosfos the bottom of Vav Aleph. Hainu bar lechayra nira demairi kishaziku kais of ilam b'shas nefila gufa. It fell down on this Nebuch. The Shlemazel. Vafilo achim idamele the bar. 1 minute. If it fell on him, what should we call it, Chevra? Eish. It's no different than Avdos Akinim Asos Shenichu Marosh Gago, and it flew off. Ruch Mitzuyah. So look at Tais's bottom of Avim and Alfim Masko Hainu. Ruchor and Yer Demari Kishagisu Hiziku Kaisav Ilam Bashas Nafil Gufa. Vafil Hakim Idam Le Labor. Why is it then considered to be like Bar? Midaloka Amar Haka. Since it didn't say here, Iba Hadi the Kaazli Kamaski Hainu Eish. The Gemara should have said if it fell. Sounds like Bar from the fact that the Gemara did not say that it's Eish. But why? If it fell down, why isn't it Eish? Tosfos says it sounds like it's Bar. He didn't explain why. And he's going to go on to prove that it must be a fell on him, not that if he got injured by the rubble. Va'oh, the Ibe Hezek, the Akron Afil Amayri, if he's talking about the rubble, Amay Patam Ilishalim. Why is he putter from pain? Halo Kevin Shanaf Lemiyad, Halo Lesalkan. Why did the guy clean it up yet? So why are you putter, even if it falls down in the time? Let's say they tell me you have 2 years to take care of your building. The building falls, and I don't do anything about it. Now someone gets injured. Yeah, they told me 2 years before the building was going to fall. But now the building is falling already. The London Bridge fell down already. Why not clean it up? That I'm chai for. If it was they gave me a time which to clean it up, it shouldn't be to tear it down and rebuild it. Time to clean it up and remove it. Cave in the Behezek La'akon Afilo Airi. Must be, therefore, we're talking about not Hezek La'akon Afilo. Then it should have been time to clean it up, not time to remove it before it falls down. Rather, it fell on him. V'yaf agav debor in holich la'azik, even though bor doesn't move from place to place, ve'elu holchim mazikim, and these did move, it fell on him, yeishlanu l'lamda mibor. Can be derived from bor. The Adif Hezek did who? Shehochum Mazikim, Ibor Shehino Holochum Mazikim, Mazikim Komo. It's a Kavach Homer. If I'm Chai for a bar which stays in one place, how much more so should it be Chai for a wall that falls on somebody that moves from place to place? Yeah, we call that Eish, though. That's what Tosfos says. Then Tosfos goes on. He says, you know. Maybe it's really Eish, if it falls on him. And what are we talking about? As Josh said, after the wall fell down. Vinira, really, the Behezek de la Acha Nefila Nami Matsiari. Yeah, maybe it's also after it fell down. It's both. Upata mi l'shalem. And you're putter from paying if he didn't remove it. He's on vacation in Bora Bora, and he doesn't know that his building fell down. What?
Bora Bora.
Bora Bora.
Talking about
boars. Oh, funny. I didn't think of it. It's in the south, it's in the Pacific, right? Bora Bora. Very good. Excellent. It's great English too, right? Ukagon Shalonother Labav Shanaflu. He doesn't know. Oh Yadu. I was just thinking about the place that I like go. Oh Yadu. Voyachul Salko. Or he knows about it, but he didn't have time to clean it up, Kokach Meir, so quickly. Vahadu Katani Nosn Lozman Lasalko Lufanoso. Then why didn't the Gemara say they gave him time to clean it up? Mishum de Behazek Nefila Gufanami Mari. Because it's also talking about if it fell on somebody. Yeah, but if it fell on somebody, the Oilam, it's Aish. And after it fell down, if someone gets damaged, then it's bar. Maybe. But also, as my lokots, listo lefanosa kamar, vahashta ashi shapi, or now works well. The medamale lebar tfe mile esh. Even though as it's falling, it's esh, but since after it fell down, it's bar, afakav the mishas nefio yeshu mosel esh. Even though as it's falling down, we should compare it to esh, kama o lebar, the me esh chaluk, bamesh ein kachachamu rabo. Here it's a little bit different from age because there's no other force acting other than gravity. When we bar chalak, it's not really the same as bar. But mesh ain't chios asiyosu lenezik. It's not really a dangerous thing inherently. It's a building or a wall. Alakach dimos on the bar mishum behezik lachun afila in the most of klal leish al the bar. Once it falls down, it's bar. So we just call the whole thing bar. But ain't achinami as it's falling. Maybe it's more similar to age. So Tysus isn't sure whether we're talking about only after it fell down or as it's falling that it did damage. And Tysus is also not sure, this the two depend on one another, as it's falling down, is that bar? That's the first day in Tysus, or is that Aish? So the Rosh over here quotes this. Let's look over here, Oizvav. Nistapku betaisvis, im yesh lohem din Aish. Odin bar, Tysus is not sure, as the wall is falling, does it have the status of Eish or bar? Venira the Yesh Lahem din bar. It has the din of bar, like the first opinion of Tysus. Why? Lo Dovi Labnus Akinu Masor Shenichem Barosh Gago. It's not the same as a package you put on the top of the roof that blew off, and Aflu Baruch Mitziv Eziku Derech Hiluchan. Why? Here a wall is falling. How is that any different than a package that fell off the top of the roof and does damage as it's moving? That's Eish. What's the difference? Dahanach nasu bar alidei koach acherim. Here, it only became damaging, damaging item, because of some other koach. The other sakinu maso had a wind that blew it off. That's Eish. Aval kos of ilam magmas reusa naflu meatzman. Here it fell by itself. Ki ro'u shelo hayuchol elamod yotzer vizhiru bezin habaylim lapiro. Rabbi said, we need to figure out, why is this bar? The Rosh feels it's definitely bar, not Eish. How is this different than, how is a wall that fell down any different than a package that blew off a roof, which is Eish? And the Rosh said some distinction. We're going to have to try and figure out what he said. The Nachas David and the Stipel have one interpretation of what he said, but maybe there's a different one. So Mishnah, we'll get back to that tomorrow. Yes.
How is gravity different than wind?
Good question. We should decide. We'll discuss it tomorrow.